Well, good morning. It's good to see you and good to be in the house of the Lord, and especially after we had a week off last week and everybody said, I would have been here, right? 5 inches of snow, blizzard, I would have been here. I can't believe it. Well, you're here today, and I'm glad that you're here today, and it's good to be in the house of the Lord. I've been practicing this sermon now for 2 weeks. And I am ready to preach it, and so I'm just excited about this new series, Love Song. And we're going to be in the book of the Song of Solomon, or the Song of Songs. And if you've never read this book before, it will make you blush when you read it. It will make you blush. And as we study this book together, you can really look at it in one of two ways. You can look at it as an allegory, that is a picture of God's love for Israel, or Christ's love for the church, or as a love story of a man and a woman who are in passionate pursuit of one another. That's the way we're going to look at it, as a man and a woman who are in passionate pursuit of one another. So we're going to have fun the next few weeks. We're going to talk about dating. We're going to talk about sex. Right, in church, this is going to be good, right? You're going to have some fun here. We can have fun in church, right? Amen? Amen. And so we're going to jump right in today, and we're going to talk about attraction. And I want to start by asking the question, what type of qualities do we want to build in ourselves to attract the right type of person? What type of qualities do we want to build in ourselves to attract the right type of person? And what should we be looking for? What should we be looking for? Now, a lot of times people will say to me, Ed, what's your views on online dating? What's your views? How do you feel about that? And I don't have any issues with online dating, but you need to know that not everything you read is necessarily true, right? If a woman says that she's 40-ish, that means she's 49 and a half. If a man says that he's 40-ish, that means he's 52 and he's looking for a 25-year-old. Run, Forrest, run, okay? If a man says that he is huggable, that means he's carrying a few extra pounds and is hairy, right? If a woman says that she's romantic, that means she looks best by candlelight. If a man says that he is laid back and he's really close to his family, that means what? It means he's living at home, he's unemployed, and he hopes you have a good job. If a woman says that she is bubbly and fun, that means she never shuts up. If a woman says that she is an independent woman, that means she has control issues. She will dominate you and make you like it. If a guy says that he's average looking, that means he fell from the ugly tree and hit every branch on the way down. Oh, man. All right. I'm just speaking the truth in love, right? So as we dig into this story, what are we going to find here in the Song of Songs, or the Song of Solomon? What are we going to find in this love song between Solomon and this Shulamite woman in this story? Well, we're going to see four qualities that we want to have, that we want to develop, that we want to possess, and four qualities that we want to see in a potential mate. And the first one I would say is this: godly character. Godly character. That's the first thing we want to have, and what we want to see in looking for a potential mate. Song chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 says this: let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is more delightful than wine. I stuttered there because I was thinking, that's what Monica always says to me, right? Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Oh, man. pleasing is the fragrance of your perfumes. Your name, we're going to camp out there, your name is like perfume poured out. No wonder the young women love you. No wonder the young women love you. Your name is like perfume poured out. What's the first thing that this lady is attracted to? What's the first thing she's attracted to? His character, his name. Notice what she doesn't say. She doesn't say, no wonder all the women love you because you're a hottie with a body, right? She doesn't say that. She says, in essence, the other women love you because of your name. Your name is like a rare and valuable perfume. It's a rare and valuable perfume to me. Now, there's a difference between reputation and character. Reputation and character. Reputation is who other people think you are. Character is who you really are. Reputation is who other people think you are. Character is who you really are. So what is she saying? She's saying, you seek God first. You honor Him in everything you do. So it's no wonder the other women long for you, because your name is good. Here's the thing. If you want a godly marriage one day, then start living a godly life today. If you want a godly marriage one day, then start living a godly life today. Now, you may say, I always attract the wrong type of person. I don't know what it is. I always attract the wrong type of person. The guys that are interested in me are only interested in one thing. If I could say this very lovingly, if you don't like the fish that you're catching, maybe you should look at the kind of bait that you're using. What are you wearing? Is your dress inappropriate? Is the top low cut? Is the bottom short? Right? What are you wearing? How about the places you go? Right? If you don't like the type of guy that you're attracting, maybe you shouldn't be going to the bar to get your torque on, okay? Right? If you want someone who loves God, then you need to pursue God. If you want someone who loves the Lord, then you need to pursue Him. Why? Because you will attract that type of person. Like attracts like. Here's a key statement there on your notes. Having a great marriage isn't so much about finding the right person as it is about becoming the right person. Having a great marriage isn't so much about finding the right person or the number one person, but about becoming the right person. Andy Stanley says this, you become the person you are looking for is looking for. You become the person you are looking for is looking for. What was I looking for? I was looking for someone who loved Jesus, who was sold out to Him and would go anywhere and do anything for Him, right? Because I knew that God could call me anywhere and we might have to move away from Tennessee to like a foreign land like Iowa. Right? And I needed a spouse that would be willing to go anywhere. I have a friend, one of my best friends from seminary, and I went to Dallas Theological Seminary. He met his wife there in Dallas. He's a youth pastor, and his wife will not let him leave Dallas, will not let him leave the state of Texas. So he cannot go wherever maybe God would lead him to go. So that was very important to me. So it starts with godly character. You start with godly character. I'm not pursuing a spouse. I'm pursuing Jesus, right? That's how you start it off. I'm not pursuing a spouse. I'm pursuing Jesus. If they're not pursuing Jesus, in other words, they're not in His Word, they're not coming to church, they're not serving, they're not becoming more like Him, then they're not even on the list of candidates. You know, a lot of times I'll hear about couples or somebody, you know, Monica will tell me, well, so-and-so, she's dating this guy, and he's not a Christian, or he's not this, or he didn't even go to church, he's not even, it's like missionary dating or something. And I'm like, if they're not pursuing Jesus, then they're not even on the list of candidates. It starts with godly character. That's where it all starts. Second thing we want to have and to see. We want to have and to see growing trust. Growing trust. Godly character, growing trust. We're going to watch, we're going to see as this woman begins to open up and share a little bit more about herself. Let's look here in verse 5. Song chapter 1, verse 5 says this. She says, "I am dark but beautiful, O women of Jerusalem, dark as the tents of Kedar, dark as the curtains of Solomon's tents." In our culture today, we like to be dark, right? We'll go to a tanning bed so we can come out looking like a suitcase, you know? In the culture back then, to be dark was to be considered ugly. If you came from a family of prominence, you didn't have to work out in the fields. So right, you didn't have to do that. Your skin was fair, it was light, and that was what was considered to be attractive, light, fair skin, not dark skin. And so she says this in verse 6 as we continue on. Song chapter 1, verse 6. "Don't stare at me because I'm dark. The sun has darkened my skin. My brothers were angry with me. They forced me to care for their vineyards out in the fields, so I couldn't care for myself, my own vineyard." I couldn't take care of myself. She's a little insecure. She's a little vulnerable. And so what do we see here? We see her opening up about her vulnerabilities. And this is what you do when you get to know someone. You slowly reveal who you are, and then you watch to see if you're building trust. He's going to take advantage of this opportunity, and we're going to watch as he loves away her insecurities. He loves her in spite of where she feels vulnerable. Now, most often, or more often than not, we begin to open up about our physical insecurities, right? I don't like my weight, right? I don't like the way I look, or my hair is thinning, right? I'm getting bald in some spots. And then we kind of go to deeper, more emotional insecurities. Opening up is an opportunity to trust as we hope that the other person loves our insecurities away. Let me say this. If you're dating someone and you're feeling worse about yourself and you're getting more discouraged, this is not a good sign, right? That's not a good sign. So what do we want to see? We want to see godly character. That's where it starts with. If they're not pursuing Jesus, if they're not seeking him, if they're not in his word or in his house, serving him, longing to be more like him, then they're not even on the list of candidates. Second, we want to see what? Growing trust, that as you begin to open up and share, you're feeling, right, that this person is responding, that they're loving your insecurities or your vulnerabilities away, right, that you're not being more discouraged, but that you're being encouraged. The third thing we want to see and have is what? Higher standards. Higher standards. Verse 7, Song chapter 1, verse 7. "Tell me, you whom I love, where you graze your flock and where you rest your sheep at midday. Why should I be like a veiled woman beside the flocks of your friends?" Now, what is a veiled woman in reference to? It's in reference to a prostitute. So what is she saying when she says, "I'm not going to be like a veiled woman"? She's saying, there's some things that I'm not going to do just to get with you, okay? Huh. She has some standards. She has some respect for herself. She says, there's some things I'm just not going to do to hook up with you, right? There's some boundaries I'm not going to cross. In our culture today, it is totally acceptable to have sex before marriage. I mean, everybody does it. But you know what's also normal? Screwed up marriages, right? That's normal today. Marriages that don't last. And so the bottom line for me is simply this. If you want what everyone else has today, then do what everyone else does. If you want something better, different, then do something different. God has a different standard than what this world has today. And it may sound ancient and outdated. However, God says the gift of lovemaking is reserved for marriage. Now, when it comes to dating, you have one of two options. Option number one, you can mutually decide to honor God together. We're going to decide to honor God together. We're going to wait. We believe God has something better for us. Everyone else may make fun of us, but we don't care. All right, that's option one. Option two, you can mutually decide to sin together. All right, that's your second option. You can mutually decide to sin together. The question is this: what foundation do you want to build your future marriage upon? All right. You can have sex before you get married, and then when you go on your honeymoon, it will be business as usual, right? Just another night at the office. Or you'll be able to say what? I am so glad we waited, right, for this gift that God has given us. Now, if you're married here this morning, my purpose is not to heap guilt on you, right? You can't change the past. Now, you may choose to apologize and say, if I knew then what I know now, then I wouldn't have done that. You may say, from this day forward, we will seek God first and honor him with purity. From this day forward, we messed up in the past. The past is the past. We can't change the past. But from this day forward, we're going to seek God first and we're going to honor him with purity. We're going to build a relationship on honoring God together, not sinning together. Godly character, growing trust, higher standards, right? This is how we build a relationship. This is what we want to have, and this is what we want to see. Fourth, consistent encouragement. Consistent encouragement. Verse 9, chapter 1, verse 9. He says this, "You are as exciting, my darling, as a mare among Pharaoh's stallions." What in the world did he just say? All right. Did he just compare her to a female horse? All right, this needs some explanation here. Well, Pharaoh's chariot was led by a white horse. And a white horse was seen as a spiritual creature back in that time. And this would be Pharaoh's most prized and esteemed possession. And she says, "My skin is dark." And you know what he says? "You're my most prized and esteemed possession. When I look at you, I don't see dark skin. I see a spiritual-like creature. I see a white horse." Whoa, baby. Right? How do you think that made her feel? When I first started dating Monica, after our first few dates. By the way, when you're dating someone, you should see them bending over backwards to win you and to pursue you. And so when I first started dating Monica, I just felt like, man, she is the one. Right? I know it, and I just felt a peace in my heart. I felt that God was bringing us together. And so I said to her one day, I said, "You know what? You, for me, are Matthew chapter 13, the middle of Matthew chapter 13. And she said to me, "What's in the middle of Matthew chapter 13? And I said, "Well, this will be a little scavenger hunt. go home and read Matthew chapter 13 and tell me what's in the middle of it. Oh man, she went home that day after our date so excited, and this is what she read in Matthew 13 verses 44 through 46. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. Man, she's like a treasure to me, and that's how I felt with all my heart. Right? In his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. When he discovered a pearl of great value, he sold everything he owned and bought it. What was I saying to Monica? Man, you're my treasure. You're my great pearl. I value you more than anything else. How do you think that made her feel? Pretty good, right? Pretty special. You know, life is not about what we have. It's about who we are, right? Life's not about what we have. Jesus said a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. It's about who we are. And because of this, the last thing to come up is physical attraction, right? All these other things come before the physical attraction. The godly character, the growing trust, the higher standards, the consistent encouragement. So the last thing to really come up is the attraction. In fact, here's where it comes in the end of the chapter, verses 15 and 16. Chapter 1. How beautiful you are, my darling. How beautiful. Your eyes are like doves. Oh, you are so handsome, my love. Pleasing beyond words. Guys, let me just say this. Here's the good news for us as guys. We can be average looking, right? If we love her like Christ loved the church, we'll start to look better looking. All right? That's good news for you and me who are average looking, right? We love her like Christ loved the church. We'll start to look better looking. Everything changes when you serve her, when you love her, when you lay down your life for her. Godly character, growing trust, higher standards, consistent encouragement. When we put all these things together, what's the result? First, she feels special. She feels special. All right, chapter 2, verse 1. Chapter 2, or in the second chapter here, verse 2. I am like the spring crocus blooming, right? You can just see her beaming and glowing and blooming, right? Blooming on the Sharon plain, the lily of the valley. In chapter 1, she felt insecure. She felt very insecure. In chapter 2, she feels special, valued, cherished, treasured. When the woman you're with feels that she is the only woman in the world for you, sounds like a song, right? When she feels and knows that she's the only woman in the world for you, man, you're moving that ball forward. You're going in the right direction when she feels that way. Which leads to the second result. She feels secure. She feels secure. She feels special and she feels secure. Verse 3 says this, verse 3. Like the finest apple tree in the orchard is my lover among other young men. I sit in his delightful shade and taste his delicious fruit. She was insecure about her skin, about her looks, right? I haven't been able to take care of my vineyard. My brothers have been mean to me. They're making me work out in the field. I'm sorry for the way that I look. She felt very insecure. Not anymore. She feels safe with this man, right? She feels safe. She feels that she can trust this man. Men, you're called to be her pastor, her provider, and her protector. You're called to be her pastor, her provider, and her protector. What does that mean? Let me unpack that. Let's start with the pastor, right? You set the spiritual tone, men. You set the spiritual tone. You create a passion for God. All right? You pray at the table. You grab their hand, right? You don't have to have the most eloquent prayer. Man looks at the outward appearance, but what? The Lord looks at the heart. All right? So you just pray, Lord, thank you for this food. Thank you for a great wife. Thank you for your many blessings. It can be as simple as that. You open up God's word. You say, you know what? We're a go-to-church family. We're not a stay-at-home family. Stay-at-home families don't raise go-to-church kids. We're going to church. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Right? You set the spiritual tone. You're her pastor. Second thing, you're her provider. You're her provider. This doesn't mean she doesn't have an income. In fact, she may make more than you make. But you set the tone. You say, you know what? We're going to live beneath our means. Right? We're going to live beneath our means. We're not going to live paycheck to paycheck. So that you don't have to worry about how we're going to pay the bills or if we got enough money this month. Right? You set the tone. We're going to put God first. We're going to be tithers in this household. We're going to give to the Lord. We're going to put him first. Third, her protector. Her protector. You be her protector, right? You're stronger than she is. At least you ought to be, right? Right? God created you to be. Put you on the Ed training program. Build your muscles. All right. You see danger, you take it out, right? You protect her not only physically, but emotionally. And you say to her, what? I'm never going to hurt you, right? I will never hurt your heart. I will cherish you, right? My word is good. I will honor you. I will protect you. I will love you. I will serve you. I will be there for you, not only physically, but emotionally. Men, you do these things, and she will respond to that kind of sacrificial love. Right? We talk about this in premarital counseling about, you know, wives be submissive to your husbands as to the Lord. And sometimes some ladies say, I don't want to be, I ain't submitting to nobody. Well, let me tell you something. If a man is loving you like Christ loved the church, how did Christ love the church? He died for it. He sacrificed his life. He shed his blood for it. Man, you have a guy who's willing to do that for you, you're like, I'll follow that. Who wouldn't want to follow that? Right? And so that's where we find ourselves here in this story. In chapter 2 here, verses 5 and 6, she's at that point. She says, strengthen me with raisin cakes, refresh me with apples, for I am weak with love. His left arm is under my head, and his right arm embraces me. Woo! It's starting to get hot in here, right? Man, let me tell you, next week, you don't want to miss next week. You should be here next week. I might be bright red next week. It would be something to see. So his arms behind her head, he's embracing her. By the way, what is raisin cakes? Raisin cakes was an aphrodisiac. And so where are we at in this story? She is ready to give herself to this man. Why? Because he's given himself to her, right? He's been her pastor, her provider, and her protector. Here's the key statement here on your bulletin for those of you taking notes. If you have the courage to be different from this world, then you will have something better than this world. If you have the courage to be different from this world, then you will have something far greater, much better than what this world has to offer. And it starts with putting God first. I'm not pursuing a spouse. I'm pursuing Jesus. Having a great marriage is not about finding the right person, but about becoming the right person. So what type of qualities should you be building in yourself to attract the right type of person? Godly character, growing trust, higher standards than what this world has today, consistent encouragement. Man, when you got this going, us average guys, we start to look better looking than what we really are. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, Ed, I've just really messed up in this area. Maybe you look at your marriage and you say, oh, I fall short in the consistent encouragement. Right? I mean, I can struggle in that area. It's important to know your spouse's love language. Monica's love language happens to be words of affirmation. Words of affirmation. And so how do I build her love tank up? Consistently encouraging her, right? And maybe you're like, I fall short in the growing trust. She shares things with me and opens up, but I don't share things with her, and I don't open up, and I've become a little walled off and closed off. I didn't mean to. My work's become consuming me, and I'm obsessed with it, and I've just kind of begun to build a wall, and I didn't even mean to build a wall. And so there's a lack of intimacy there. We're going to talk about that next week and how we break through that wall and that barrier and how we restore it. You say, Ed, I'm there. Maybe you fall in the area of higher standards. You say, Ed, I've done some things with some people that I just regret, and it's just eating at me. I'm married now, but I think about my past, and sometimes my past comes up, and it just haunts me. You need to remember this, Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation. There's no guilt for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin and sinful man. He did away with it. Why? In order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. You live according to the Spirit. And so you don't let Satan condemn you and heap guilt on you, because there is no condemnation once you're in Christ Jesus. You say, you know what? I can't change the past, but from this day forward, I'm going to honor God with purity in this relationship, in this marriage, right? And when you feel like Satan's throwing you a thought to get you off track, you remember our last series? We take captive every thought and we make it obedient to Christ. And if you have a bad thought come in your mind, you think of Romans chapter 13, the last verse, verse 14. It says, rather close yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Right? When Satan wants to plant a seed or a thought in your heart, you say, you know what? I'm not going to think about that. I'm not going to go there. Right? It starts with godly character, growing trust, higher standards, consistent encouragement. Maybe you're here today and you say, Ed, I'm not a Christian. I thought I was, but I know that I'm not. I haven't put God first. I haven't put him first in my life. I haven't put him first in my marriage. And I want to start today. It starts with putting God first. Well, in a moment here, we're going to give you the opportunity to pray and to ask Jesus to forgive you for your sins, to ask him to be your personal Lord and Savior. Maybe you're here and you say, Ed, I'm a Christian, but I haven't been living like a Christian, not according to his word, not according to his standards. Would you pray for me that God would give me the courage to be different? Because I don't want to have what everyone else has today, a screwed up life and a marriage that doesn't last. I want something that lasts for an eternity, right? Till I get to see my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If that's you, we're going to pray for you. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Jesus, we thank you for your word. with heads bowed and eyes closed. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, Ed, I haven't started with the first building block, the first foundational piece, and that's the Lord. I've been living for myself. I haven't been living for Jesus, and I don't even know exactly what that means. I just know that I'm not where I need to be or should be. I feel like my heart is far from Him. I feel like my heart is elsewhere. And I want to give Him my heart. I want to lay down my life. I want Him to be Lord of my life. If that's you, then I would just ask you softly and quietly to repeat these words in your heart after me. And here they are. Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me for my sins. I thank you for dying on the cross for me. I ask you to come into my heart and change me and make me like you. If you just prayed that prayer, God will honor that prayer. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, Ed, I'm a Christian, but I'm living in disobedience. Some of the things you talked about this morning, I'm not doing, and quite frankly, it's a battle. I want to do what's pleasing in God's eyes. I want to live in the Spirit. I don't want to do those things, but I'm just wrestling with it right now. Would you pray for me? Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ. I pray that you'd give them the courage to do what is right, that they would start building a foundation on honoring you today, that from this day forward, they would seek to put you first and honor you with purity. Give them that courage. Give them that boldness. Help them, Lord Jesus. We pray all this now in your name. Amen.